It's the Fabric Podcast. These weeks, we're looking at some big things that have been weighing many of us down. Last week, we started looking at the political polarization that surrounds us with a little help from Braver Angels. In this episode, you'll hear a panel of Fabric folks sharing their experience engaging last week's prompt to take one step toward decreasing polarization. That group is Melissa Locke, Loreen Harbert, and Katie Leshock. We're all practicing, so we thought you might appreciate some others journeying alongside you as we get unearthed. Here's Ian McConnell.
Thanks for being here. We're in week two of our Unearthed series, and I thought I would just give you like a quick, in case you weren't here last week, or maybe are catching up online or the podcast or whatever. Last week was week one, and we had with us from Braver Angels Reduce the Rancor campaign. Jeff Thiemann was here to equip us with some resources to kind of crack open our thinking a little bit on political polarization and what is polarization, how do we characterize polarization in the world, and then to give us a challenge too, to take one step toward depolarization, which is different than being polite, but to actually kind of turning the fear down in this ramped up, hot kind of climate that we're in. And so part of the reason that we're doing the art and doing some of these somatic exercises together is because when we engage in difficult conversations like politics, like political polarization, like next week when we start talking about the climate crisis, in a few weeks when we talk about Gaza and Israel, Palestine, like kind of what's happening in that region of the world, we might actually find ourselves sort of retreating or succumbing to the impulse to fall into despair or denial or doubling down on our positions, which doesn't actually really get us anywhere in the conversation. We just kind of find ourselves more deeply entrenched despite the water rising, right? So despair, denial, or doubling down, you'll find are the fill-ins on your Sunday paper. And then he also, last week, Jeff gave us kind of a tool for thinking about how might we talk about polarization? How might we do this? And so he suggested as we think about tides, right? Like the tide going in, the tide going out. Right now the water is rising. We are not just entering, we are in an election season, right? Anybody just pumped about that? Boo. Boo this man. So one thing that he talked about was this idea of EBB, E-B-B, which stands for equip, be brave, and brag. That bragging piece, for me, actually felt like the most uncomfortable part. I tend to be somebody who tries to do a lot of the work internally, inside my head, and then it kind of falls in my body, and it just sort of sits there and twists and ferments a little bit. And so his challenge for us last week, our challenge together, was to make a commitment, or at least consider making a commitment, toward taking one step toward depolarization. One step, not meaning solve a problem, fix everything, right, in one area of our life, but more, what's the one step, the one brave step that you might take rather than what I might tend to do, which would be to bury my head in the sand, right? And I can be a little bit of an ostrich. And so today we are going to brag. We're going to talk about this stuff. I've invited a panel to join us today to kind of model this kind of conversation. We're doing this, we're talking about it, and we're bragging because to turn down the heat is to disempower fear. That's what we're trying to do in this conversation. We're trying to disempower fear. One of the things that we learned about last week is that in the last 35, 40 years, the heat has been turned up, which can be a helpful thing to like activate us, right? Heat isn't just all bad. But to really turn down the fear is what we're trying to do and reject the dehumanization that comes in this kind of polarization that we're experiencing the last 40 years, which he defined as affective polarization. So there's ideological or geographical polarization, like we disagree on an issue, on an idea, on a path forward, that kind of thing. And that we can work with. But affective polarization is to say, I'm right, and if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. Or even worse, you're evil, or you should be ended, right? Like this is kind of the trajectory when we really dig our heels in and double down on our positions without doing this important work. So what we're trying to do is build capacity for listening well, for being understood, because who doesn't want to be understood well by others? And maybe even working to recognize the divine in the strands that connect us all. That in that motion of coming together, of listening well, to understand, not just to react or respond, but in listening well, in knowing ourselves, in holding conviction and moving forward in relationship across difference, there's something divine in that. And so I am eager today to welcome up to these empty three stools, Laureen and Katie and Melissa, who are going to spend some time in conversation with us. So can we give them a round of applause? Yeah! Hey! Welcome up. Pull up a stool.
All right.
Awesome. Ooh. Great. Well, thank you all for joining me up here. How are you feeling?
I'm ready to brag, people.
Yeah. Sweet. So before we really get started with that conversation, Coop, would you just mind one by one introducing yourselves? Tell us a little bit about who you are and how have you experienced this challenge this week to take a step toward depolarization? What's it been like?
I'll go. I'm Laureen Harbert, and I'm glad you reviewed the ebb word because I realized what I did was I equipped. Mm-hmm. I went into like equip mode. Mm-hmm. And And I will say that I've been like, just my gut has been churning about the election, and I've been like wondering, like, what can I do? And like been sitting in that for a mm-hmm. while. So like last week was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So I was ready.
Yeah.
So I'm Melissa, and I have been a seeker of this since 2017. I've been interested in this kind of work because I felt so buried by and just hopeless about how do we, like the hardness that I was witnessing in people, and like how are we going to ever go forward if more and more people feel less and less human and see each other as less and less human. And I just felt really discouraged until I heard these people telling a different story about it. And so I'm glad that you get to hear these stories and your each other's stories, and that we're starting to like think about that there's another way to do this public life together than what we're kind of bombarded with. So it's felt challenging to do this particular thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's vulnerable to come up here and like be real, but that's what we get to do as a community, so thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa.
I'm Katie, nice to see you all. I noticed avoidant wasn't on the list of practices for the week, but that's what I practice most of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, for the last election cycle and the few years before that, this was a big thing, particularly for me with my family.
Mm.
And that was a lot. And I really don't want to go there again.
Yeah.
But here we are. So, avoid it.
Avoidant.
I have a follow-up to that later.
Okay, great. we'll put a pin in that and come back to it. That's great. So, as you if you wouldn't mind just sharing, like, what's the thing that you did? Like, what was, whether it was just taking those steps toward equipping yourself better, or having a, braving a tough conversation, or, yeah, what did you do, and what happened? What worked? Did anything work? Did you feel progress? Did you feel learning, growth, anything? I'm going to keep it real open-ended.
Re-electing Lorraine to go first every time.
So I did a lot, again, because I like sprang into action. So I listened to a bunch of podcasts by a podcast called Braver Way, which is sponsored by Braver Angels. I signed up for one of their one-on-one conversations on their website. Jeff had mentioned that last week, that if you wanted to have a one-on-one, you could do that. So I signed up to do that. It hasn't happened
What's
yet.
What's the topic that you chose?
My topic, there are six topics you can choose from, and my number one was to talk about urban-rural.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to list the others. So then I listed red, blue, which I don't really want to get into quite yet. But so I thought I'd start with urban-rural.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's the one I'm going to get. I'll report back. I signed up for the Flip Side, which is a daily news feed that like is curated from like traditionally liberal and traditionally conservative news sources. And I had a conversation with someone in my life about O.J. Simpson. And then I talked with some friends in my women's group about a podcast they had recommended a couple, like about a month ago, about a pro-life and a pro-choice person just having a brave conversation about their beliefs. And I had listened to it once before, but I was like, okay, I need to listen to that one again. So I did that. And I actually then wrote a follow-up email to the person who hosts that podcast, Kelly Corrigan, and had some follow-up conversations with my women's group about that process. So that was me springing into action.
Yeah, and what? That's a lot. Well done.
Yeah.
What did it feel like to start that, to have some of those conversations and?
Well, it's interesting because none of it felt very brave to me.
Sure.
I mean, signing up for a newsletter is not very brave, right?
Right.
And the conversation I had about O.J. Simpson was with someone that I have a relationship with, mm-hmm. that I've had conversations about race with before.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the context of that relationship, it didn't feel like I was being brave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, like I was trying to sort of get some curiosity.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Well, I can segue off of that because I wasn't sure that I was brave, and I was thinking about what does that mean, you know, to be brave. And I actually did. It was started with Sunday night watching the Final Four women's championship. Really enjoy basketball in our house, and got to. I get really caught up. I'm like feeling for the losing team, and I'm feeling for the winning team. So excited, and all the emotions with that, and. And then in this interview, you know, that you know how you hear the players and sometimes they'll say, all praise to God for our big win, you know, or like glory mm-hmm. to, or they sort of invoke God in this win. And as soon as I heard one of these people who I had just the moment before just been like, oh my gosh, what an amazing thing they just did together. And what a great way they've been using their platform to support, you know, women's, other young women and women's sports and all this. And now all of a sudden I hear this comment and I notice in myself this judgment, like, and this distance all of a sudden. Like, oh, she's one of those people that thinks God is on their side and like helps them win games direct and like cares about the, and like when there's like refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started really doing the thing that Jeff talked about of othering that person. So noticing was a step, and maybe that is brave.
That's huge, yeah.
Just to notice. And then the next day, I went to the chiropractor. That's not that brave. But what I did do was bring it up with this person who I see in small chunks, you know, every so often, and he has to carry on conversations with so many different people all day. And so we sort of have some reps in and some trust built. And for me, I thought Brave, I loved what you said about the heat, like, can be good sometimes.
Yeah.
Daring to turn toward the heat is what I need to do. Like, actually listen. Like, what is it in me that got riled up there? And who do I know that I could actually, like, be curious with and ask about? And it turns out my chiropractor was a athlete in college. And also, I know that he comes at faith stuff, like, more maybe personally and kind of publicly than I tend to. And so I thought, oh, I'll ask. And my equip thing was, I had learned, instead of being like, why do people do that? I started with, how is that for you when you hear, you know, athletes, you know, thanking God for their win?
Yeah.
How is that for you?
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Awesome.
Well, for me, I was brave, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that big. Well, whatever.
Yes.
We'll get there. Okay, so when we had our thing last week, mm-hmm. I loved hearing the conversation. I loved hearing, what was his name again?
Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Kind of joke about how, you know, what do you do when you face someone who doesn't agree with you? It's like, well, I'm right. So I just, you know, carefully
yeah.
explain to them why they're wrong and I'm right. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That the challenging piece was, what about in the face of, like, real injustice and mm-hmm. people dying and, you know, racial injustice or war or what have you. Like, we talked about this as a group, like, when there are very strong convictions that you have. So that was one piece that came up. Mm-hmm. The other piece that came up is, I do have a lot of things that I feel strongly about. I also am kind of wired to see not just both sides of the story, but, like, every possible facet. Mm-hmm. And I want to know and understand. And I don't think that everyone is wired like that. And for sure, I feel like people in my family are wired differently than I am. And one thing I've learned is it's a lot easier to talk about things that you don't agree with your family with when you're talking to other people about mm-hmm. your family who agree with your own perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. easy. And I don't have to explain myself. It's like people immediately understand that. But we did get lots of practice. I worked really hard. It was a very... really difficult time during 2016, COVID, George Floyd, the whole thing mm-hmm. was a kind of earth-shattering time for me and my family and my faith and stuff like that. And I'm not even someone who was, like, directly whatever. Anyhow, so my mom and I are where this kind of crystallizes, because it's like, how could you have birthed me and raised me and nurtured me so lovingly, and we have totally different views of the world? Mm. Like, I don't get it. And then I found out I was going to talk about it today, but I was avoiding, so I was about to tell Ian that I wasn't going to talk about it because I didn't have anything to say, because I don't want to do this stuff anymore. but I went to visit my mom yesterday. And then my mom was asking about Sage, and does he still do the live stream? And yes, he does the live stream. And so she could be on the live stream right now. She wanted the link.
Mom.
Hi, Mom. If you're there, I do love you very much. but I really, like, I finally told her at the end of my visit yesterday, which was going to be the end of my visit, that what we were talking about here at church or service or whatever we call this community that we're a part of,
the gathering.
Yeah. And that I didn't want to talk about it, but, and she said, well, I want to talk about it.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, let's talk. And so we sat in the armchairs in her living room with the cat on her lap, and we talked for probably the next hour or two. Part of what came up was around, like, the transgender issue, which I feel like has become very narrowly focused in news bites.
Mm-hmm.
But we really had a good listening conversation. And one of the things she said to me is, Katie, like, when you talk about this stuff, I hear your story, and I know you, I respect you, I know what you care about, I know all this stuff about you. And so when you tell me this stuff, she's listening. And she, I was also able, like, I've grown a lot in the last few years. Like, if before 2016, if you want to talk about heat, I was throwing fireballs. I was righteous and right, and you were wrong. And it really didn't work out that well. It wasn't fun. Yeah. And it's not fun anyhow. I mean, there's not necessarily fun to be found in this, but I find that in relationship, being willing to have these conversations. And then part of it is feeling heard, which I really was. I felt heard by my mom in our conversation yesterday, but I was also truly listening. I wasn't defending or like trying to shoot down every little thing. It was, and so I think in the face of times when there are deep divides, deep concern on either side, if you ask either me or my mom, this country is in a really difficult place right now. We might have different reasons or different ideas about what that means and what to do about it. But yes, the issues are real. And I think in relationship, I'm really grateful that we can have conversations that get past kind of the sound bites into what is the bigger story behind the different experiences people have and what can we do together, like as humans around that.
Yeah.
And that, for me, I think that might be my only way to survival through this next election season.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that story gives me chills. Thank you. Yeah, well done. So, I mean, we've talked about these steps, having wins in these steps, or making progress, or connecting across difference, and I think that's all really good. And sometimes we take a swing and miss, right? Or discover that this step that I thought was going to be a simple one step is actually kind of challenging. And maybe, you know, our guts kind of get churned up about some stuff. And so with that idea that practice doesn't make perfect, but practice makes progress, what, if you want to share, what's something that maybe was challenging in the step that you took or made you wonder about another new step?
So I'll talk about the re-listening to the podcast about abortion. And one thing I learned, an aha for me, which seems kind of obvious, is that like it helps to listen twice. Because like the first time I listened to it, I was like in a different posture. And I actually talked with Jeff last week about the person on this podcast who represented the pro-life, who identifies as a conservative pro-life person. And he helped me sort of tease out that like it's hard for me to listen to her because of that issue. And I had sort of just like, I can't, like, she bothers me. And but he helped me uncover that a little bit more, that it's because she's attached to this issue about which I feel very passionately. And so then I was able to listen again with that new lens. And it helped to listen twice, like I said, just to sort of like get through kind of the nitty gritty the first time and just like hear the gist of it and then really listen deeply the second time. And so as I was listening, I was sort of taking notes and like there were some places where I was really curious or surprised about something that she said. And I feel like mostly I could be curious and mostly I could think like, I need to understand more about what she's saying. But there were definitely moments, like I found this one thing where she totally contradicted herself and like, I gotcha. So that's my swing and a miss. It's like, it's still, I mean, it's like my instinct, I think, was I was trying to be curious and I think I was more curious the second time around, but I still was like looking for holes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I can share. Well, I was thinking about how now I want to circle back because I did hear, how is that for you? And I heard, I realized I didn't hear it very well. Hmm. Like, I was sort of listening, but also sort of making my argument. You know how you do that? You're listening, but you're also like, oh, here's what I can say back, you know, to that. And I had to, like, sit down and say, what did I really hear? Like, because I know this person's heart. You know, I've experienced this person as a healing, you know, person who cares about a lot of things and people. And so I decided I'm going to circle back about it and just say, I want to hear more about mm-hmm. what that means to you or what you hear and how... like, I'm thinking about, like, there's something in me that made me feel the heat, right, initially, and mm-hmm. that something matters, and there's something in him, too, that makes him feel, like, really warm or really good when he hears people talk about their personal, like, hard things they've done, not by themselves, and kind of making that claim public, and, like, what is that like, and... to honor the heat in both of us.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, we were talking about how when you cook, you need heat. Yeah. And all these flavors come out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when we are trying to solve problems or understand this third strand, this God experience, like, we need flavor.
Yeah.
And we need each other's different flavors. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, you know, we talk about this is really difficult and hard, but it's also flavorful mm-hmm. and delicious sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of helped me reframe just to even prepare for this. So thanks.
Yeah, love that. So one of the reasons that we're doing this, I mean, to your points, is to practice in a safe way of doing this equipping work and taking brave steps and then being able to talk about it and brag about it and reflect on it in community, like in trusted relationships. So that when we're out in the wild and are experiencing, you know, polarization and that, we actually can respond because we've got those muscles built up and practiced. So I'm really grateful that we get to have this conversation and do this practice work together. The other thing I would note for those of you in the room, that if you take a big step, if you do something brave, or have a big moment in your life, an aha moment, one of the ways that we can mark that together, other than just talking about it and celebrating, is to, we have all this weaving wall over here and these scraps of fabric that you can take somebody and tell us the story of what you're up to, what's going on for you, and what are you celebrating or grieving or working through, and we can actually mark that on that in that weaving wall, that's all of this struggle, all of this stuff is part of our story together and how we weave each other into each other's lives, right? Any kind of final reflections or thoughts? Reflections on this experience?
I just feel like I have a lot to kind of process.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation that I had yesterday with my mom, I need to sit with it a little bit and think about, I don't know, what next?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think the practice is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I really feel like having to articulate what it is that you care about, why you care about, why it matters is yeah. incredibly important, because I found that it works really well with people who already agree. All my words are just shortcuts to the same thing that they feel
yeah.
versus really practicing articulating what it is that I care about and why it matters.
Yeah. Thanks, Katie.
I also just wanted to point people in the direction of one of the podcasts that I listened to. It was in the Braver Way podcast, and it was a episode about triggering, like getting triggered, and it was a conversation with a counselor who does somatic counseling, basically. He's a somatic therapist. And it was really challenging for me, because I think my orientation is towards, like, you know, protecting people from harm. And we use those words, trigger, harm, causing harm, a lot. And so that podcast for me was like a challenge, and maybe it will be helpful for other people to listen to that. So it was a Braver Way episode on how to handle being triggered.
Yeah. Thanks, Lorraine.
Yeah, thanks, Katie, for bringing that up. I really experienced that, the gift of having to articulate what's important to me about this, about, you know, what's going on in there. So just thanks for being brave, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can we all give a warm round of applause and thank you to these three. Thank you so much. Thank you. And we'll continue this work. I hope you don't feel like we tied a bow and called this good. That there's, it's resolved. We have work to do. We get to do it, and we get to do it together. And so that's one of the greatest gifts I think that we can give each other is to practice this stuff together, to reflect on it, to brag about it, all of that, so that we can just keep building those skills, our sort of metaphysical toolkit, right?
Thanks for listening. May this simply be the start of the conversation. Reach out if you want help connecting with a group virtually or in the Twin Cities, and tag @FabricMPLS with your own thoughts on social media. You can also stay up to date and find other resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.